Supper, because we're talking about being an influential member. We're going through the book. So if you're a guest with us today, we're going through the book, I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer, who is the former president of Lifeway Christian Resources, our distributing and literature and book providing organization for the Southern Baptist Convention. He wrote this great book about what it means to be a church member, how I invest my life in my church. And we're taking 6 weeks. Today is week five. Next week is week six and the end. And next week is the beginning of Christmas, right? We're going to actually sing a couple of Christmas songs next week. If you haven't already turned your Spotify playlist to that. Josh put up a playlist this week, as a matter of fact. Is that public or is it private? So if you just go on Spotify, you search for FBCT, FBC Tomball. First Baptist Tomball Christmas. I listened to it all weekend. It's a great playlist. It's actually, in my opinion, one of the best compiled playlists of Christian worship songs. And it also gives you kind of some advance notice of what you're going to sing, some of the newer stuff and new arrangements you might sing in the next month. And so if you get a chance, go to Spotify and do that. Is it Spotify only or iTunes too? Only on Spotify. We can do one. You want your microphone back? Would it be easier if we were talking back and forth? I sent it to all of our staff Friday after I listened to it the first time. So all of them should have gotten it and have that. But it's really good. And it actually helped kind of move me over the line this week to get ready for Christmas. It just doesn't seem like it's here. Some colder weather might help. I don't know. I got beautiful pictures from one of our church members who's visiting their brother in Montana. I mean, it looked like a dream come true. Snow was falling, a cabin out in the woods. The guy's a gun salesman and a gunsmith. If I could die and retire, I would go join him and be his assistant. And it just looked beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So maybe that, the playlist is helping want to see Christmas happen. So next week we finish I Am a Church Member and we dive into the Christmas season, which this year is just themed for us is just in time. And we're going to look at how God tends to do things always just in time, which is very closely to what we're looking at today. Because in the fifth chapter of Tom Rainer's book, he summarizes and challenges us to be influential, to help the people that we have influence with understand how important, how significant, and how grateful we are for the church. He describes it like this in his fifth pledge. Every chapter is summarized with a pledge. We're not asking you to make the pledge. We gave you note cards. If you don't have those, you can grab those. There's some here on the front pew. There's some on the back table. You can grab those and follow through everything we're doing. Take some notes on the back of it. One wife told me her husband was actually taking notes. She said it as if that was a really new thing, that he has the cards and he's putting notes on all the messages on the back of the cards. So at least one person is getting something out of this. And husbands, it's always good when we're submissive to our wives and make them happy. So go ahead and grab those note cards and make some notes. But the fifth pledge, I'm not asking you to repeat it or anything like that. I'm not asking you to sign it. But it is a summary of that chapter. And this is what Tom says. He says, I will lead my family to be good members of this church as well. We will pray together for our church. We will worship together in our church. We will serve together in our church. And we will ask Christ to help us fall deeper in love with this church because he gave his life for her. And it's that first phrase that we're going to look at in this first movement of this, the message and the time together in worship. It is that statement that he makes, we will ask Christ to help us fall deeper in love with this church because he gave his life for her. What we know from the scriptures, what we know from the Bible and what it teaches us is that God has always loved his people. He created, he designed us in the very beginning because he wanted to be in relationship with us. And he has loved us in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our bad decisions, in spite of our sin, in spite of us doing everything contrary to his character, he has always loved us. For centuries, actually millenniums, the church gathered in the synagogues. And those synagogues and those moments of teaching and those moments of worship also carried out in a larger context in the temple was God loving his people, loving when his people gathered, loving when his people came together. And he loves his people, and he's always loved his people, and he's never stopped loving his people. With Jesus coming here to earth, living here with us, dying on the cross for us so that through his sacrifice, we might have eternal life. We might have forgiveness of sins. We might have a hope beyond this moment. We might have a hope in this moment when it's a bad moment. His loving his people, the gatherings begin to switch and transition some, not into something completely new. It's still the concept of God loving his people and wanting his people together. But it's in that context, after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that we find and hear the first term, church. And for 2,000 years historically, the church has been God's people gathering. And the vast majority of the time, we talk about the church in a universal fashion. It is not our character, it's not our goal to highlight and super energize our church, this expression of church. And so all of this is just a little bit different in this series because we've talked a lot about who we are in this expression. But today, especially, as Tom leads us through this and that outline leads and guides us, today especially, he's talking about loving our church. And so he's talking about this geographic expression. He's talking about this gathering of God's people. We still love all the church overall. And we know when you say an expression like Christ loved the church, gave his life for the church, there is that overall universal aspect of it. But in this context, the application is very personal and very specific. So contrary to our normal kind of mode of operation and doing things, we emphasize this morning what it means to love this church. And I challenge us in this first expression, when did you decide you love our church? Assuming, I recognize if you're a first-time guest, you may not have an answer to that question yet. You might have. It could have been a really fast 20 minutes for you. I'm not expecting you to have that. But those of us who are members, those of us who are regularly attending, those of us who consider this our home expression of our faith when we gather with God's people, when did you decide? When was that moment that you recognized you loved our church? And let me say, just simply, because this is outside of our normal character and because this is outside of our normal operations, let me just say, it is biblical and we are instructed to love the church. It is clear, as I just described, throughout all of history, God has always loved his people and God has always loved uniquely when his people gather. Jesus said to Peter one afternoon that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it because God loves his church. He has created into the very design and nature of the gathering of his people a victorious moment. God has given us expression over and over again to love his church. Tom Rainer's pledge, that phrase, to help us fall deeper in love with this church because he gave his life for her, is an expression from Ephesians chapter 5, where in marital advice, the Apostle Paul addresses that church in Ephesus and says, look, guys, love your wives the same way Christ loves the church, who gave up his life for her, who sacrificially loved her to the point of yielding even his life for her. And so for us to be challenged in this moment to love the church is biblically correct. It is according to the way we're taught to live our expression of faith. But it's not just biblically correct. It is following and aligning our hearts with God's heart. And I would say in the application of that, he loves this church. In 1909, when this church was established and founded, God loved this church. He was pleased that there was a church being founded to reach this region, to live out his commission and his commands and his plans and his endeavors in this region, to let his people gather together. And it hasn't always been perfect, and it hasn't always been great. Just like any one of us individually struggle and learn and grow and mature and need forgiveness all the time in our faith, it hasn't always been perfect, but he has always loved our church. He loves our church in this moment. Again, in Scripture, he promises to be with us because we've gathered. So when did you fall in love with our church? I want to use a passage of Scripture to describe sort of my thought process in the idea of momentary influence, in the idea, the concept of loving the church. This is in Revelation chapter 21. It's in verse 2. And I'll reference it briefly. But in this moment, after everything John has seen about the end of time and the beginning of eternity and what eternity looks like, all the beautiful images he's seen, all the horrific images he's seen, all the things he understood, all the things he didn't understand, all the things we understand, all the things we don't understand. His concluding statement is, I also saw the holy city, which is a reference to the church, the New Jerusalem, which is a reference to the church, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. At the conclusion of everything John saw, he saw the church, beautiful, majestic, prepared in every way to meet her husband, to meet the one who gave his life for her, to be pure and holy and righteous and splendid in his presence. It was a moment. It was a moment just like this moment where John recognized here is something unbelievably beautiful, and that something is nothing less than God's bride. As awe-inspiring as that new bride can be, as much as she walks down the aisle and takes away your breath, as much as you see the nature of that beauty and that majesty and that splendidness, and you stop for a moment and think, why would this be a part of my life? You love her. When was that moment for you? Because I'm just asking you to remember, I'm asking you to reflect for a moment this morning. When did you fall in love with our church? Now, God adds substance to that moment in this same passage. John begins to look around. He sees the bride of Christ. He sees the church in all of her beauty, all of her splendor, all of her glory. And then he says, then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. God is in this moment. His love for the church is what motivates and drives him to be with us when we gather. God understands the loving nature of this moment. God understands that in this moment, we're in love, and we're in love with the church. And he loves her so much that he gave everything for her. He gave everything for her so that she could have everything she wants and be the full splendor of his love. He's with her. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. In that moment, the church experiences and knows God's love. And the pain and the sorrow and the grief and the injury and the tears that we shed here now, maybe even in this moment, maybe even as we prepare for this moment, God is here with us, healing, restoring, making right, working in our hearts, dwelling with us, exactly as John described it, dwelling with his people. If God loves the church, then it makes sense that we, as a part of the church, love him, and loving him means we love the things he loves, and he loves the church. And I'm not asking anyone this morning to go to the extent that Jesus went to for his church. I'm just asking us to remember, to reflect, when did I fall in love with the church? Because I'm going to be an influencer, whether it's in my family unit, whether it's in my neighborhood, whether it's in my workplace, whether it's in my school, whether it's in my community. It'll be because I deeply love what God loves. And one of those loves is his church. And Scripture reminds us over and over again, Old and New Testament, to memorialize great moments where God moves. And the greatest memorial contained in Scripture, the greatest instruction of memorializing anything, happens in the Lord's Supper. Because it's in that moment we pause and we remember how and why Jesus died for the church. How and why Jesus died for us. The Apostle Paul, it tells us specific instructions on how to handle these memorial moments. He wrote to the church at Corinth these words, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup. After supper, he raised the cup and said, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is what God did for the church. And the way he did it for the church was by doing it for you and doing it for me. Jesus gave his life so that we could be forgiven. Jesus gave his life so that regardless of what happens to us in this world, we would know that we're loved. Jesus gave his life that regardless of what we face or think or struggle with, there would be a touch point where it was obvious nobody has loved us as much as Jesus has loved us. And that's why we memorialize it. That's why we take moments out in our worship to stop and to pause and remember, this is how much Jesus loves me. And all the blessings I experience is because of his love. And I just want to thank him. And we do that individually in this moment, and we do that together in this moment. And we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Your cups have both elements. If you're at home, grab your bread first. In the exact same order that the Apostle Paul told us, in the exact same order and way that the Apostle Paul described it, we take the bread first. I'm going to ask you to take that, hold it. We're going to do it together. And we'll all have it at the same exact time. You take the bread. And I want to just challenge you, think for a moment of how Jesus died for us, that my sins are forgiven because he died for me, that I can look forward with confidence to heaven because he died for me. I have life because he gave his for me. And as you contemplate and kind of examine our hearts and take a moment of introspection to think about that, then I want you just to realize and recognize, and in this moment, make application to the fact that it wasn't just me. It was all of us. Our church exists because Jesus loved her and gave his life for her. And today, we commemorate that in our worship. Take just a moment. Pray individually, pray privately. Then I'll lead us in prayer and give thanks. Father, thank you for coming to my rescue. And I recognize in this moment with my friends that I would not be in this moment if you had not intervened. If you had not intervened and sent your son here to this earth to live and identify and understand me better and greatly understand and comprehend my need, and in applying your love to my need, giving himself for me. I just couldn't be here right now. And I definitely could not look forward to eternity. I could not look forward to a home where there is no more tears. A home where all sorrow has vanished, where all mourning has vanished, where all pain has vanished. Where I literally sit in your presence and you love me to the point of wiping the tears from my eyes. I couldn't do it if Jesus hadn't come. So thank you for the depth of my heart for loving me that much. And thank you for loving your church and giving your life for your church so that I have a place to express my faith, to grow my faith, to live my faith, and in community, grasp the challenges of my faith and living here. Thank you that you've given me a church to love, a church you love. In Jesus' name. And in the same way, that night he took the bread, gave thanks, and told us, take this in remembrance of me. Cautiously flip it and open up the other side, revealing the cup and the juice. And we'll take that together in the same way. Again, remembering and thinking about the extent to which God has loved us, cared for us, giving his life for us. I love the way Isaiah prophesied this moment. He said, though their sins be as scarlet, they will become white as snow. Every drop of blood that Jesus shed on the cross that evening was to cleanse the stain on my heart and my life. So that one day in eternity, I will be a part of that bride, beautifully dressed, beautifully adorned to be with her husband. I will be a part of the church in its perfect expression of receiving God's love and giving God our love. All because Jesus was willing to shed our blood so that my sins, as dark and stained as they were, could be washed, purified, and as clear and brilliant as fresh snow. Again, pause for a moment. Express your gratitude. I'll pray for us. Father, it's amazing to me, and I don't totally grasp it, that you can accept me as I am. but love me to be who I should be. And I know that's possible because you gave your life, you shed your blood on my behalf. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for forgiving us. The church isn't always right. But just like our individual expression, corporately together, we express that our desire is to live for you, to be recognized as yours. Live through us as you live in us. Thank you for a new covenant in your blood that gives us life and hope. In Jesus' great and beautiful name, amen. And again, taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, do this in remembrance of me. For as long as you do this memorial, you declare the death of Jesus until he returns. And may that return be any day now. And each and every day, Pastor, we will love, we will care, and we will express that love.